of stopping and paying for something and saving up for it, I just wasn't taught that.
Anytime we had an oops happen, it was just charge it. And so this emergency fund all of a sudden stopped us from making added debt.
It's important to save money for, like I said, the emergencies that come up. You don't have to struggle or borrow money.
It's just the most peaceful feeling knowing you got the money in case something happens.
Having a savings account, an emergency fund, it reduces a lot of stress.
It's fun to spend money. It's a lot more fun to spend money than it is to save it. I mean, that's, and so you have to sort of let your desires overweigh your wants.
I just want to save, put away and save.
People look at you different too when you have a lump sum of money.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Financial Peace University. Tonight's lesson, what we're going to talk about in this session, is super savers. And that's something the typical American is not today. We are not super savers. So make sure you've got that arranged in your workbook. And as you know, as we go through the workbooks, you're going to fill in the blank. And I'm going to pop the words up on the screen, and you'll be able to fill in the blank as we go along in each lesson. And that does two or three things. One is it keeps you awake. And two is it sticks it into your brain. Because as you write it, as you laugh about it, as you cry about it, as you elbow your spouse about it, going, you know, we ought to be doing this. As you do that kind of stuff, you will learn. And that's the purpose. I want this stuff to stick down into your psyche, and I'm well aware that learning is well attached to activity and to emotion. And so we're going to do a lot of that as we go through together. The first thing we want to look at is that savings must become a priority. You have to make it a priority. You have to learn to pay yourself first, give, save, and then pay bills. Now that sounds like your grandmother. Well, your grandmother had some common sense. Give, save, and then pay bills. I was meeting with a little youth pastor a while back, and he said, Dave, I'm having trouble with my budget. By the time I get down to tithing and saving, I don't have anything left. I said, honey, that's because you have your budget upside down. You have to start with those two. If you don't make savings a priority, if it doesn't come off the top, you'll never do it. And most people in North America today aren't doing it. This was published in the Wall Street Journal. The average Japanese family is saving 18.1% of their after-tax income, where the typical U.S. family has a negative savings rate. The little one over there on the right, that's us, U.S., negative 2.2%. We are not having fun with this money thing, or we are having too much fun, and we're not going to have fun. We are destined towards a retirement where you have to buy that cookbook, 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Love It. You know? You're going to have to make a decision. But I'll tell you this, I have discovered that savings is about emotion. Savings is about emotion. It is about contentment. Savings is about emotion and contentment. The truth is this, that is a secret key that will unlock your ability to save. You see, you will not save money when you get a raise. You will not save money when you get a debt paid off. You will save money when it becomes very, very, very important to save money. Let me show you what I'm talking about. How many of you have children? When I get your hand up, please leave it up. How many of you have children? Raise them up. Be proud. How many of you hope to someday? Not real soon necessarily, but someday. Everybody, want your hands up, keep it up. How many of you have a kid anywhere on the planet you kind of like? Good. Okay, now we pretty much got everyone, right? Now, the truth is, if I came in And I said, look, I got some really bad news. There is a disease going around that is wiping out children. And there's a vaccine for that disease that you have to buy for your child in the next 9 months, or they will, well, they'll be gone. That's pretty serious. The vaccine costs $10,000. And you're not allowed to use $10,000 of your relatives' money, and you're not allowed to use $10,000 that you have now. How many of us could come up with $10,000 to save our child's life in 9 months? Some lady's going, which kid? It's. But the truth is, what happened? You didn't just get a raise. I mean, that's a horrible example, a bad story, but it makes us think that when savings becomes important enough, we'll do it. I mean, you're thinking extra job. You're thinking we're going to sell some things. We're going to have a garage sale. We're going to do some things different. We're going to get on a budget. You're thinking this is serious. This matters. Hey, folks, this is serious. This matters. We have a whole generation moving towards retirement thinking our government, who can't keep books, is going to take care of them. This is serious. You're going to be broke and hungry. You better take care of yourself. People under 30 years old, more of them believe in UFOs than Social Security. You better get ready. And they're right. If you think social insecurity is going to take care of you, you can't do math. That deal is gone. It's a political football. The mathematics of it died years ago. I'm not some fear monger. It's not a conspiracy theory. Anybody that can do fourth grade compound interest can tell you it doesn't work anymore. You think your broke government who can't balance its books is going to take care of you? You better get serious. It's serious. Well, my daddy will take care of me. Your daddy may be broke, and you don't know it. Because our parents, well, they don't talk about sex, and they don't talk about money. We figured they had neither. Turns out they had both. You've got to make a decision to get after this saving stuff. You've got to make a decision. It has to become an emotional priority. Well, Dave, building wealth, that's like, then I'll be one of those evil rich people. Uh-huh. That would be a plan, except don't be an evil one. See, money is amoral. It doesn't have morals. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. Money's just like this brick. I can take this brick and throw it through a window. The brick doesn't care. Or I can take this brick and build a hospital or a church. The brick doesn't care. It's amoral. It doesn't have morals. It's not immoral. It is lacking of good or bad morals. This stuff is the same way. It's not any different. There's nothing evil about this. There's nothing inherently good about this. You're not good if you have some. You're not good if you don't. Sometimes I hear people say, well, those mean old ugly rich people. Hey, some of the grossest, most greedy people I know are rich people. You know some of them? Do you? Yes or no? Is this thing on? Do you? Okay. Do you know some gross rich people? I do. I know a few of them just jerks. You know, I also know some rich people who are some of the best people on the planet, don't you? Do you know some poor people that are jerks? I do. Do you know some poor people who are some of the best people on the planet? I do. Money is amoral. It doesn't have morals. But when you place it in the hand of a human, it starts taking on that human's characteristics. So sometimes we see jerks with bricks and then we blame the bricks. They're just a jerk. It's not a brick problem, okay? Larry Burkett, the famous Christian author, says that the only difference in hoarding and saving is attitude. We're going to teach you to save money for three basic reasons through this session. Number one is, well, before we do that, I want to remind you that in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Now, let's look at that Bible verse for just a second, because that really explains what we're talking about. Wise people save money. If you spend everything you make, you're a fool. Don't get mad at me. God said it. And according to that particular thing, I have been a fool in my life. According to that particular Bible verse, I have also been wise at times in my life. It is wise to have stores of choice food and oil. Now, I'm not one of these financial guys that believes you ought to live in a cave and collect lint and only come out on triple coupon Thursday. Okay? I live my life. I have a good time. Money is for fun, it's for giving, and it's for growing things. like my family tree. It's for impacting those I love and those things I care about that God directs me to impact. Money is a blast, but don't get confused. It is not to be just hoarded and held, whether it's $10 or whether it's $10 million. We teach you to save for three basic things. Number one is for an emergency fund. For an emergency fund. Number two is for purchases. Now, I know that's a novel idea. Dave, you mean I shouldn't ask how much down? No, you need to ask how much. If you can't pay for it, you aren't ready to buy it. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mess with you all throughout these sessions. I'm going to be stepping all over your toes, so you might as well get used to it. The third thing we teach you to save for is wealth building. Building some serious wealth for your good, your children's good, your family's good, and the good of others. How do you save money? Well, the big thing is you got to start. And I'll tell you what, you better start, and you better start right now. Right now. You look at this next page and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, look at Ben and Arthur here. Ben starts saving. He saves $2,000 a year, $166.67 a month at 12%, which when we get into the mutual fund section and investment section, I'll show you how you can do that easily. But he starts saving at 12%. Now, compound interest works kind of like this. I need your help. You follow with me on this, okay? If I take $1,000 at 10% interest, $1,000 at 10% interest, at the end of the year, this is not a trick question, when they send me my 10% of $1,000 as an interest check, how much is that check for? $100. Good, this isn't hard. If I left it in there, I'd have $1,100, $1,100, right? Now, the next year, if I got 10% of that as my interest, it would be $110, right? So if I left that in there, now I'd have $1,210, right? So the next year my interest check would be $121, right? So 100, 110, 121. That's compound interest. Every time the snowball rolls over, it picks up more snow and it gets bigger. So the next time it rolls over, it picks up yet more snow. And by the time it gets to the bottom of the mountain, it is a cotton-picking avalanche. So Ben, he saves $2,000 a year from 19 to 26. And you'll notice he quits saving at 26 years old. He only put in $16,000. His brother Arthur, on the other hand, has kind of goofed off. And he decided, well, I'm going to get serious now. I'm getting late in my 20s. It's time to get serious about saving money. And he starts saving money at 27 years old. You notice Ben, after that, has zeros, but he already got the snowball rolling because by the time he quit, he already had $27,000. Do you see that? So that snowball keeps rolling because it's already started down the mountain. It's picking up interest the next year and interest the next year and interest the next year. He's reinvesting the interest every time. Now, his brother, Arthur, over here doesn't start till 27. At age 65, he has put in not $16,000, but $78,000. He has saved almost his entire life and still comes up $700,000 short of the guy that started early. Is that amazing or what? I mean, I think you shouldn't be allowed to graduate from high school until you can explain that chart. It would change the way we elect political leaders in this country permanently. It would change a whole bunch of things. See, that's pretty basic stuff. And some of you are going, well, now, Dave, that's a real great example if I was 19. How many of you in here under 25 years old? Under 25 years old. Hey, under 25 years old. Let me just tell you, I just made you a multimillionaire if you got that. I just changed your whole family tree if you got that. Now, for the rest of you, the point of the chart is not that you should have started, it's that you better start. If you're 29, let's go. If you're 39, if you're 49, if you're 59, let's go. You got to start. And you got to start where you are. You can't go back. If you could, you would. I would. I would keep my hair, okay, if I went back, right? So you got to start where you are. And some people say, well, Dave, am I too old to save? Not if you're sucking wind. You got to start. It's not over. Hey, Colonel Sanders didn't even start Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was 67. Okay? Golda Meir, Winston Churchill did everything they did that we know them for in their late 60s and early 70s. Grandma Moses never painted a painting till she was 85. She did 1,500 works of art by the time she was over 100 and passed away. Amazing. The Sistine Chapel was painted by a guy laying on scaffolding on his back. You remember, it's the ceiling. He was 72 when he painted it. Don't tell me you're too old. It's time to get up and get with it, wherever you are. But if you're 19, you better do this stuff. Because it sure is easy if you get started early. Let me ask you, how many of you in here are 40 years old or older? Would you tell those 19-year-olds, do it right now? Yell, say, do it. Now, I tell you what, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. You better do it too. You got to save money. You got to start right now. You've got to make this happen. The first thing we teach you to save for is for an emergency fund. I had one lady come through our course. She called it a GOK fund. She said her grandmother always had the GOK fund all of her life. She said, the GOK fund took care of my braces. The GOK fund took care of us the time that Grandpa got laid off from his job. The GOK fund took care of us the time the winter was really cold and the light bill, the gas bill came in really high. She said, the GOK fund, it was our lifeblood, the God only knows fund. The unexpected emergency fund. Grandma told us to save for an emergency fund, didn't she? She said to save for a rainy day. Visual aid, okay? You need an umbrella. You need to get ready. It's coming, okay? Let me just tell you what I'm talking about. Everybody stand up just a second. Everybody stand up. I want you to take your right hand, bring it very lightly in front of you. Make a fist right up in front of your face. Take your left hand, place your palm on the back of your wrist, bring your fingers around. As you do, you will find your pulse, I hope, with your fingertips. Is everyone's pulse beating? Good, we will not have to stop the lesson then. If your pulse is beating, unexpected events are going to happen. Get ready, they're coming. Money Magazine says 78% of you, 8 out of 10 of you, will have a major negative financial event in any given 10-year period of time. Somebody's going to get laid off. Somebody's going to have a car wreck. Something's going to happen that's going to mess with your money in a $5,000 to a $7,000 range every 10 years. Get ready. Well, Dave, you got to be more positive. I'm positive. It's going to rain. Okay? You better get ready. Everybody have a seat. Thank you. Very cool. Very cool. Step one, the very first thing we tell you to do as you're starting to build your emergency fund, as you're starting to put together your financial peace plan, your baby step one is $1,000 in the bank. Are you ready to tell me what baby step one is? Baby step one is $1,000 in the bank. Ready? Baby step one is? The very first thing you do when you're in Financial Peace University, before you do anything else, before you start getting out of debt, before you do fancy investments, before you do your 401k, you get $1,000 in the bank because life is going to happen and your get out of debt plan, your investment plan won't last if you don't have a cushion to accept those blows when life comes. And it will come. Let me tell you the cool thing about this is when you do it right, you end up with 3 to 6 months of personal expenses. Now, later on, we're going to continue the baby steps, and you're going to find out that is baby step three. 3 to 6 months of personal expenses is around $10,000 or $15,000. For some of you, it's $7,000. But somewhere in that range, you need that money sitting there, not to touch, not to do anything with. Don't mess with it. I don't want to hear about it. It's not a leather couch fund. It's not a I need a stereo fund. It's not a I have a BBD, a bigger, better deal. I've got some scheme or scam I'm going on. This is for emergencies. You keep your hands off of it. It's best placed in a good money market type account. That's where I keep mine. Like with a mutual fund company, you can get a money market account. It's going to pay around 5 or 6%, and you can get check writing privileges on it. Get CD rates, and you can write checks with no penalties. Now, you don't write a bunch of checks because you're not allowed to, but up to $250 checks and above, you can write out of there. So when I'm parking money through the year for taxes or when I'm parking money for emergencies or I'm saving up short term, I use a money market type account. Now, your emergency fund is for protection only. It's for protection only. Do not touch this fund. It's not a big earner. Don't touch it for anything. It's not some big investment scheme. It's an insurance policy against life. Let me tell you what. I can remember the first time our car broke down and we had money to fix the car. You know what I'm talking about? Most of our married life up to that point, when the car broke, we had a car crisis and a money crisis. I remember the first time we just paid the guy. It was the coolest thing. I never just paid the guy. I always worried, flipped out, tripped out, didn't know what was going to happen next, didn't know where I was going. You know, crazy stuff, man. I was going out of control. And I just paid the guy. And it was like a $2,000 event. I kind of smoked the transmission. You don't pull the boat in overdrive. You don't, you know, you want the thing around the D, you move down one when you're pulling the boat. It smoked the whole place. Yeah, and so Sharon's like, wait, wait, wait. I said, look, we just fixed the car. It's okay. The car's just fixed. It was cool. Some of you can relate to that. Most of your life, when you have a car crisis or a job crisis, you also have a money crisis. How would it feel to come in and get laid off and you go, I was hoping you'd do that. How big's the severance? And it's kind of a joyful thing. And that you just totally freak them out and they double the severance, you know, because they're a little worried about you, you know. Wouldn't it be different to be in control? The emergency fund is the first thing you save for. Let me tell you what the emergency fund is. It's Murphy repellent. It is. Here's the weird thing that happens. When you have $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 sitting around just for emergencies, Murphy leaves. He goes and picks on people who don't have any money. It's the weirdest thing. We don't have emergencies anymore. We hardly ever have a financial emergency. But of course, in our house, with what we've been through, we have an emergency fund like for the emergency fund. Just in case there's a really big, you know, Sharon's like, don't you touch that. I will hurt you in ways you can't even think about. You know, Sharon's serious about this emergency fund. I understand her need on that. And we do. We keep a big emergency fund. But it's cool. It's Murphy repellent. Murphy leaves me alone. If I didn't have any bad luck, I wouldn't have any. Get an emergency fund. It'll get rid of your bad luck. It's the weirdest. I mean, you can chase black cats. You go, come here, come here. You know? Changes the way you think about this stuff permanently. The second thing we teach you to save for is instead of borrowing to purchase, actually pay for stuff using what's called a sinking fund approach. Now, sinking fund's a commercial real estate term or a commercial finance term that simply means save up with interest to pay for things that you know are coming. They're coming. For instance, we normally buy something like a $4,000 dining room suit. And we go down and we get 90 days, same as cash. 78% of the time, 90 days, same as cash, converts to finance company rip-off paper at 24 to 38% interest. 8 out of 10 times you fall for that trick. It's a trick. It's a gimmick. Grow up. You're not going to beat them at their game. I'm wise using their $800 for 90 days. No, you're not wise. You're going to not pay it. You're going to forget. You're going to be on vacation. And they backdate you through the whole time on the whole interest, and you get your ears nailed to the wall playing their game. One of the things you got to do as a wise consumer is quit playing their game. If you play with snakes, you will get bit. Okay? Crocodile Hunter is going to get it one of these days. Okay? He's messing with some big old animal with big teeth eventually. I hope it's not after we shoot this video and then I have to go back and edit that out. It'd be awful. But the truth is that you just, if you play with snakes, you are going to get bit. So don't play 90 days same as cash. Because see, what'll end up happening is you end up with a 24% interest rate. Your payments are $211 over 24 months. So you pay back a total of $5,075 for that deal. And that's if they don't rip you off with their mandatory, that's not mandatory, life insurance and rip-off credit, disability, and all these other things they get you with. The insurances, they make most of their money on that in addition to their high interest rates. What if instead you save $211 a month? If you did that for only 18 months at 0% interest, you'd have enough to buy your $4,000 dining room suit. Wait a minute, Dave, I just did the math. That's only $3,800. How can you buy a $3,000 dining room suit or a $4,000 dining room suit for $3,800? Here's how you do it. You go in there with $100 bills and you go, I want a bargain. You know what I learned? They'll start following you around. They'll go like, hey, dude, get the manager. Right? Won't they? You know what I'm talking about? And you will get a deal. Or I leave with my hundreds. Takes me a few minutes to convince them I'm not a drug dealer, right? But I leave with... Can I buy a $4,000 dining room suit for $3,800 doing this? Can I? Okay, you know you can too. So don't start paying cash, because what I found out is 90 days is not the same as cash. think about this stuff. You got to think if you're going to win. See, for instance, people saving for a car. Dave, I talked to a lady today on the radio. Today I talked to her. Had $1,000 a month in two car payments. Did any of y'all hear that? $1,000 a month in two car payments. And wondering why she owes the IRS money. Let me think about this a second. And what I was showing her is what I want to show you. If you want to buy a $5,000 car, why don't you just throw $500 a month in the cookie jar instead of sending it to the bank? If you go down with $5,000 in $100 bills, you know what you get? A bargain. And if you don't get one there, leave and go somewhere else. But I'll tell you what, you roll up in some old boy's backyard that's got that car for sale because he needs to head off in the service, or he's going off to college, or she's got her a new car that daddy bought her and she's getting rid of that one. And those hundreds are going to look really sweet and you will get a deal, won't you? You got to stop and think. You can get a lot of car for $5,000 if you stop and think about how you're doing this stuff instead of always going into debt, always being in a car payment situation. One definition of maturity is learning to delay pleasure. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. When it comes to wealth building, like retirement planning, now we're going to spend a lot of time on that. We have an entire session just on investments, and we're going to go through stocks and bonds and all of that. Then we have a whole nother entire session on retirement plans, like 401ks and SEPs for those of you that are self-employed, and the ESAs for education savings. But when it comes to saving long-term, all of that knowledge of investment types and how to invest it doesn't matter until you do it. What we're talking about here is that dirty word called discipline. I don't like that word, Dave. I don't like it either. That's why God makes me teach this stuff every day. Because I have 5 million accountability partners all across America. If I don't do this stuff, everybody's on my case. Because I become what's known as a hypocrite at that point, right? And so the truth is, I'm one of the weakest ones in here. And discipline is not my nature. But I have found that a really good way to get what I want is with discipline. And I am good at getting what I want. See, what I'm telling you is I want to be consistent over time. The scripture says a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful man will abound with blessings. You want to keep doing this over time, over and over and over again. When we were talking about Ben and Arthur up there, we were talking about saving $2,000 a year, $166.67 a month. That wasn't a month occasionally. That was every single month. Every month, no matter what, whether the kids were sick, whether the dog was sick, whether there was a prom dress, no matter what was going on, it was every month they saved. That's the hard part. Being consistent over time is the thing that pushes you. It's the hard part. If you save for 40 years, $100 a month at 12% interest, every single month, age 25 to age 65, your working lifetime, if you do that every single month, $100 a month. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about pizza money and cable money. Just $100. Well, just $100. I'd like to have your just $100. Well, yeah, hey, dig in there and find it because you're spending it. It's going out the door. Some of you spend $100 on Coca-Colas every month, right? You look at what you eat out while you're at work. You know, well, I pack my lunch and take it, okay? $100 can be found. Well, you're tightwad. Yeah, but I ain't broke anymore. Think about it, okay? If I want to hop a plane and take one of my kids down the Caribbean and just hang out for a day or two, I can. That packing a lunch thing works, you know? It works over time. You do that for 10 or 15 years. It was 15 years ago we went broke. All those years ago, we started over. And now, all these years later, this stuff works. I'm here to tell you. I'm on the other side of the wall. I'm throwing a rope over. Come over here. It's nice. Climb. It's worth it. $100 a month saved throughout your working lifetime. If you're 30, that means at 70, you'd be, just with $100, a millionaire. $1,176,000. Wow. I was teaching this stuff in the high schools one day. And I was in there. There was this big assembly of kids. And I was showing them this stuff. And the teacher said, Dave, take your financial calculator and tell them what smoking costs. And we talked about it a little bit there. And we established that a good bargain would be around $3 a pack. And if you smoke like a pack a day, y'all help me with this, $3 a day for 30 days would be how much? $90. This is a good math group right here, I'll tell you. So $90. $90 a month invested from age 16 to age 76. And you might live that long if you don't smoke. is 11,622,000 dollars. 12 million bucks. This kid with green hair in the back goes, "Hey dude, what do you do with that much money?" I said, "You change your family tree. Maybe this time it'll fork, you know?" I mean, just scary stuff. A little bit steady makes a lot. A lot unsteady doesn't make much. Don't miss that. A little bit steady makes a lot. You will either learn how to manage money or the lack of it will always manage you. You will either choose to be a little bit steady. The marathoners win, the sprinters lose. It's a tortoise and a hare race, this thing called building wealth, and it absolutely works that way. And I don't like it because my personality style is that of a sprinter. Can you imagine that possibly? You know, that I am not a marathoner. But the marathoners, the plodders that just never quit, they just one step and one step and one step, they're the ones that win. They're not the ones that are big flash in the pan. They're not the famous people. That's why the average millionaire takes 15 to 17 years to build their wealth. They do it over time. And they're people that you wouldn't recognize. They're people you don't know who they are when you pass them on the street because they're just regular guys, regular gals. They're plotters, one step at a time. That's how it works, absolutely. See, the pre-authorized checking account where they automatically draft my checking account, that Zapper, you know what I'm talking about? I use those things like crazy because that helps me to have instant discipline. And that's the only way I can win for sure is with that instant discipline. I forget. Y'all ever forget? I get busy. Do you ever get busy? I mean, things happen around my house. I don't know where I'm going next. And the promise is that every time at the first of the month, that mutual fund company is going to go whammy and hit that account. And it goes, we hit it so hard because I want that money automatically running over there into that investment. I want that money automatically coming out of my paycheck and going into the Christmas club. I want that money automatically because I tell you what, automatic helps, doesn't it? Are you busy? Are you busy? I'm busy. Are you going crazy? I mean, do you forget stuff? I forget stuff. You got to have that automatic. It helps me have that instant discipline. It's like instant oatmeal. You got to do it. There's no way around it. And compound interest, we saw that as a mathematical explosion. It's a mathematical explosion. It's how things work. You will either do this stuff and take advantage of compound interest, or it will always be taking advantage of you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You know, we did that little exercise of $1,000. Remember that? $1,000 with at 10% is $100. Then we had $1,100 working our way up. We see that explosion, and we see how over time with Ben and Arthur, how that becomes a very large snowball. And the guy that started early with just $16,000 ends up with $2,200,000, $700,000 more than the other guy. We see that. You want to see the inverse of that, the other side of that coin? Look at your 30-year mortgage. 98% of the payments you pay in the first 2 years are interest. It's the snowball chasing you. Compound interest is a mathematical explosion. The snowball's going to roll. You don't have a choice. You're either going to push it or you're going to run from it. Pushing it is saving. Running from it is called debt. And there's no way around this stuff. Wealthy people begin to understand this. And as they do, then the rate of interest that they get on their savings makes an absolute huge difference. Interest makes a big difference. John Wesley said it well. He said, "Make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." You know, as you look at this right here, if you took $1,000 cash down to the bank and you were to invest that, I was to take $1,000, not our emergency fund startup, but an actual investment, and we loaned our $1,000 to the bank. That's what opening a savings account is. How many of you have opened a savings account? You get that 2.27%. Yay! Right? You know what I'm talking about? They charge you a $3 service charge for the quarter and give you 83 cents in interest. How long is it going to take for my savings account to self-destruct? I always wondered that, you know? So you get one of those good savings accounts opened up, but you take your $1,000, maybe you get a really good CD rate down there, a certificate of depression, you know, and you open up $1,000, you get 6% on your money. 6% on your money. You loan the bank your 6%. If you leave it in there from age 25 to age 65 and you come back, you'll have $10,000. Compound interest. Remember how we talked about that, right? If you double the rate of return, though, Compound interest is a mathematical explosion. It's what we call a geometric progression in mathematics, which means it just goes nuts. 1 + 1 does not equal 2 anymore when you're dealing with snowballs, okay? Because they pick up more snow. It grows on a curve is how this deal works. So when you double the rate of return from 6 to 12%, you don't go from 10,000 to 20,000. You go from 10,000 to 93,000, almost 10 times more money with your same $1,000. And if you triple it, well, by the way, that's why I talk to you when I talk to you about your college funds, you want to be real careful. See, that 6% is suspiciously like a savings bond, isn't it? That 12% might be like a mutual fund. There is a difference, isn't there? And it's not just double, is it? You've got to watch these interest rates when you're saving. That's a real-world example of how to apply that. If I triple the interest rate and I go from 6% to 12% to 18%, I don't go from 10,000 to 20,000 to 30,000. What ends up happening is I go from 10 to 93 to $750,000. Well, Dave, you can't get 18% on your money. I know, I know. I own several mutual funds, three, that have a 20-year track record of over 18%. Now, they're aggressive growth funds, and we'll talk about those in detail in the investment lesson for you, okay? So don't miss that lesson, no matter what. I'll show you how to do that. And you don't want to count on those kinds of rates of return, but they can be had. But let me tell you what else happens. Let me show you where you can get 18% for sure on your money. Right? It's called a plastectomy. Plastic surgery, right? Because see, what happens to us is this. We go down to the bank, and we open up an account with $1,000. When we get home, in the mailbox is one of these and a little letter that says we want to establish a relationship. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I want. It's a relationship with a banker. Right. I don't think so. But we get that thing out and we look at it and we go, 18%. How stupid is that? God, people use that kind of, I mean, that's dumb. You could make a mess doing that, couldn't you? 18%. But I'm going to put that thing in here just in case there's an
emergency.
Oh no, you did it too. And you put it in there, and you're sitting there doing the bills one night. You remember doing that? And all the money has come in, and all the money has gone out. And only the names are changed to protect the innocent. Straight through, right? There's this large sucking sound in your checkbook. One old boy said, you know, I just want direct deposit to the grocery store. It all goes over there anyway, you know? And all that money has gone, and you go out there about 2 days later, and the account's bare, but we made it another month, you know? And I go out there to start the car, and it won't start. And it's an alternator that's bad, $322. And you go, well, gosh, I got to have a car. I got to get to work, right? So just this once, I'll fix it with this thing because this is an
emergency.
Yeah, you did it too. And you come in August, and you're sitting there at the kitchen table. The kids are getting ready to go back to school, you remember? And they come in like this, Dad. Dad, there's a problem, Dad. And you're going, oh no, I should not have expected this. This is an unexpected event. Children grew. How could I possibly have known? Oh my goodness, we can't send them to school like this. And of course we didn't plan for it. We had no idea they might grow. So we'll run out, use this thing and buy some clothes because this is, after all, an
emergency.
Well, not really. You're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner. And about halfway through, it suddenly occurs to you that this year, Christmas is in December. People get all freaked out. It's here! Like they move it or something. It's always in December. Why is this a shock? If you're watching this video and it is the middle of summer, maybe you ought to think, I only have 6 months to do my budget for Christmas. If you don't, you divide everything out by 12, somebody's not getting a Tonka truck. Okay, every year it's at Christmas. And you go, oh no, we have to buy those little kitties some stuff. I mean, we have to run out to Toys R Them and buy some plastic stuff. Otherwise, their little self-esteems will be crushed. They will be destroyed. They will have something to tell their therapist when they're 30. So we have to go and buy Christmas because after all, it's giving. It's Santa Claus. It's Christmas. Oh, it's an
emergency.
So you're sitting there and about, is this right? Is this life? Does this sound like life? That's why you're laughing, right? You're sitting there in February and the Visa bill comes in and you look down, there's $1,000 on the Visa bill. And you yell through the house at your spouse, get in here! Who put $1,000 on the Visa? And your spouse is looking at you like you're from another country. And she's going, or he's going, ah, you did it. Oh, you did it. You did it. And you have a Visa fight. You ever have one of those? Right? And you get out all the bills and you do a full audit just to prove you're right. Yeah, you did it too, didn't you? I know about you. I read your mail. It's bad. I did this stuff, man. This is Americana, isn't it? And you get it out, and what you find out is you did spend $1,000 on the Visa, but you didn't go to Europe. You didn't get a fine piece of furniture or a really nice stereo. Life happened without a plan, and Visa caught your slack. Guess who had a plan? This is not a game, gang. Because see, let me tell you what you did. You took your $1,000 over to the bank. You loaned your $1,000 to the bank at 6%. And they loaned you your $1,000 back at 18%. You see, if you look real carefully at that little diagram, that little bitty one over there, that 6%, that's your house. That great big one over the 18%, that's their building. In economics, this is called a transfer of wealth. Okay? That's how this stuff works. See, wouldn't you just like to have the furniture in the bank? It's yours. You paid for it. Think about this stuff. So if you want to get 18% on your money, I can just tell you for sure, there's a guaranteed way to do that. Every time you don't pay 18%, mathematically, it's almost as good as getting it. So you got to make a decision to be done with the stupidity. Ooh, one lady in the front row just passed out. So what are we saying? We're saying you need to save money. You need to save money for emergencies. A fully funded emergency fund is 3 to 6 months of expenses. A baby step one where we start it all is how much? $1,000 cash in the bank. Exactly. Then the second thing you need to learn to do is save up and pay for things. Well, I deserve. You don't deserve squat if you can't pay for it. You do not have any rights just because you breathe wind. You don't. Get up, leave the cave, kill something, and drag it home, and then it's yours. I'll let you keep it. I don't want any of your stuff. Just leave mine alone, okay? And if I want to help you, I'll help you, but don't make me help you called taxes. I'm out of that. I'm done with that, okay? We got to stop and we got to think about this stuff. The second thing is save and pay cash. The third thing is, and we're going to go in detail on this one later, is really do the wealth building because the Scripture says it. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. A foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, you're a fool. But if you save money, you're wise. If the water in this cup is money, and we save money for emergencies, when we have that emergency, when we put the van in the wrong gear and pull the boat, we just fix the van. Isn't that a fun idea? When we get laid off, we just pay the bills, and we don't have to be in such a big hurry that we take a bad job. Does that make a difference? If you save money for purchases and you get ready to buy something, you go in with $100 bills and you get a really good bargain and you don't hate the thing later. How many of us, raise your hand, have bought something by the time we finished paying for it, we hated it? You know what I'm talking about? Just pay for your stuff. Then you don't hate it. If you give it away later and it's paid for, you don't worry about it. But if you just work, you know, I used to have a ski boat and I do math, you know, I'm a math guy. So the whole time I was skiing, I was figuring out what it was costing me a minute to ski. Just messed up my whole skiing experience. Now I've got a paid-for ski boat, and I really enjoy the thing. What a concept, you know? If you save money for tuition, and the kids come in, like, asking for tuition, like baby birds, going, tuition, tuition. You just pay for it. Unlike the average college senior who will graduate this year with $15,348 in student loan debt and another $7,000 in credit card debt. It doesn't work, gang. So you need to put your money in that cup. You can't put it all in this cup. This is the spending cup. Now you have to put some in here because some of the things we spend money on are just spending. There's no way around it, is there? That's the end of the deal. You got to spend some money. But if you put it all in here, you get to see that proverb really working. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Because if you put all your money in this cup, you'll find that the money is gone. David Copperfield does finance.
An emergency fund, it gives you a peace of mind that allows you to sit back and think about some things.
Since we've been having the emergency fund, wow, it's just been awesome.
I have to take care of myself, and if something happens to me, who do I depend on? Mm-hmm. So I have to have that 3 to 6 months fund.
Well, now that we have the emergency fund, there's a sense of peace of mind knowing that if something really happens, it can be taken care of.
I think that's real important, and I think it still applies to even college students like myself. You know, you need to save.
During that time, I didn't have to deal, along with the stress of losing a mother,
right.
But I didn't have to deal with the stress of where am I going to get this money,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because I have an emergency fund sitting there waiting for me to use.
We've started our emergency fund. Our lives are getting a lot better, much better now.
Credit cards reek.